Well, welcome to church. Today, I have a short charge for us. And what I believe God laid in my heart is to share with us on this topic called the all-sufficient God or God our sufficiency. So, in whichever way it applies to you, whether the all-sufficient God or God our sufficiency. And from what I love the songs we sang today, because these are scripture-based songs. And if our hearts are so enlarged and prepared, those words minister to us. Those words speak to us as preparation of what God is going to do today. If we turn our scriptures to Genesis chapter 17 from verse 1. Genesis chapter 17 from verse 1. I'm going to read today. God, our sufficiency. The scripture says in Genesis chapter 17 from verse 1. My glasses on. I thought I came to church with it. Okay, it's okay. Maybe it's in the pocket of my jacket or so. Oh, thank you. Sorry. The words just seemed smaller. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you, and will greatly increase your numbers. Abraham fell down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abraham. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Amen. In this passage of the scripture that we read, God wants to do something with a man, and he came to him at 99 years, when this man was 99 years old, and he said, I have something to do with you. I trust that the Holy Spirit will speak to us today. I think if you want to do something to someone, you go to like a 15-year-old guy who is about starting life. You don't go in the human palace. You call the 99-year-old man finished. But God went to a 99-year-old man. I said, I've got a covenant to have with you. I've got something to do with you. And he said, I'm going to change your name. And he changed his name. Why a change of name? Why a change of name? I pray God helps me. When you have something to say, and the six things are coming to you at the same time. The first thing I want to say is that in the whole of scriptures, we see the word of God exalt who God is. And this morning, I want you to see God as not this all-powerful, all-glorious, distant personality. But yet, I want us to see him as being all-powerful, all-glorious. The book of Genesis chapter 22, verse 14. Genesis 22, verse 14 said, made us see where God revealed himself to Abraham as Jehovah Jireh, which says, I am your supplier, I provide. Jehovah Jireh is established in Genesis 22:14. There we can see where God showed that I can supply on a very deserted mountain. God told Abraham to go do a sacrifice. I'm not going into the nitty-gritty of that sacrifice. But from nowhere, he looked and the scripture said there was a ram caught in the thicket. And God said to him, I am the Lord who provides for you. So we saw also in the book of Genesis chapter 16, verse 13, Genesis 16, 13, Hagar was running away from her mistress because she misbehaved to superior authority and the older woman has shown her who is the boss. And she was running away with her son. And she kept the son away from her because she felt there's no water here. I am going to die and the son is going to die. Let me keep this boy away from me so that I don't watch him die. The scripture says, and this boy cried. And an angel of the Lord appeared and said, I have heard the cry of the baby. That child will not die. He is from Abraham. It's a covenant child too. He won't die. And when Hagar was saying her experience, Elroy, because God sees me, even in this desert place. He's somewhere near today. You need to be assured that God sees you, even though you may seem to be in a parched place, in a very bad place. God sees into that dark place. Exodus 15:26. God said to the children of Israel, if you do the things that I ask you to do, through Moses, I'm going to keep all these sicknesses away from you. Why? Because I'm the Lord who heals you. I'm Jehovah Rapha. I heal you. So we see in this scripture, in Exodus 15:26, it says, I am the one. I'm the Lord who heals you. Yahweh Rapha. In the book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 24. Judges 6, 24. The Lord said, he is our peace. Yahweh. Shalom. He is our peace. Is there a situation in which you need peace in someone's life or in a situation? Our God is the God of peace. And the last I would like to show today, is in Jeremiah 23, 6. Jeremiah 23, verse 6. And I will read. Jeremiah 23, verse 6. Jeremiah 23, verse 6. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called: the Lord, our righteous Savior. So God revealed himself here to the children of Israel as Yahweh Sikenu, to mean the Lord our righteousness. So we've seen from the Lord being our provider, the Lord being the one who sees us, the Lord who heals us, the Lord who's our peace, and the Lord who is our righteousness. God is the one who does not need us to believe that he exists for him to be God by himself. He does not need any human being to believe that he exists. He does not need underline anything from us in terms of needing. He doesn't need it. I need air. I need water. I need food. I need things. God does not need them. So he is great. And I want you to imagine with me today how many of us we've seen the seas before. You've gone to the sea. You've gone, if you just go down some, maybe 70 miles, you get to Portsmouth, you see, and you go, as you go down, we'll see the seas, we'll see. I want you to imagine you went to the sea with a 33,000 liters tanker, and you took water out of the sea. I want you to just imagine how much the sea will feel that you have taken out of it. If all of us, we go there with as much as we can, and we go to the sea and take from that water, it will still not show that we have taken from it. In our finite mind, we can imagine this with God. Because sometimes in our inability and our frailty as humans, sometimes we think he is as we are. But sometimes you want to ask God something, you need six things, and you feel, no, let me ask God the first one, as if to say, let me allow him to recover, make more money, so that he will give me the second one. And when he has gotten his strength back, we don't say that, but in our minds, as if to say, he can't do all of it at the same time. He's got the capacity to meet every need in all of our lives at the same time, according to his will. So someone will say, so how come he hasn't done everything I've always asked? How come God hasn't done everything? I think I shouldn't have any need. There should be no problems in the world. If God has the capacity to do everything and everything, why isn't everything just done at once? And that's where I'm going to be heading and finishing today. God that we serve, when he was going to talk to Abraham, he changed his name. He changed his name from being Abram, meaning exalted father. It was a good name. Abram was a good name. I father was a good name. But he changed his name to the father of many nations. Wow, if you call me a high father, I'm glad. If you call me exalted father, I love it. But God changed it to father of many nations. So I want to say, what are you calling yourself today? Are you calling yourself sick? Do you call yourself weak? Do you call yourself incapable? Do you call yourself, it's my thing? What have you personalized and you own? Would you allow God to change your name today? And back to my question. That is the reason why God will work in these two different ways. He goes to a 99-year-old man, such that when they went to the woman was hearing. The angel said, according to the time of life, your wife will be pregnant. The scripture says she laughed. She herself laughed. This is ridiculous. At 90-year-old, you talk about pregnancy. My Lord does not even have pleasure. My husband is not even interested. And I'll be showing to us today two scriptures. I want to say to you this morning, God is on time. The book of Luke chapter 1 from verse 5 to 7 showed us the story of Elizabeth. Elizabeth was well advanced in years and old. I don't think many people want to have children in this church this morning. I'm not particularly talking about children. However, this woman is well advanced in years. And she, this woman is well advanced in years, and she and her husband, they've got no child. And God sent a messenger to them to say, you're going to have a child. The same time, 6 months after, the same God sent a messenger to a teenage girl, a virgin, and said, you will have a child too. The same God sent a message to a 75-year-old woman, you will have a child. The same God sent a message to an 18-year-old girl to say, you're going to have a child. Maybe 20, 21-year-old virgin, you're going to have a child. And a 75, the same God. I want to, if you forget everything I've said today, remember, God is great. Who is not late? He's not late to the 75-year-old, and he's not too early for the 20-year-old virgin girl. He's not late to the 75-year-old woman who has never had a child. And I don't have the time to show you that the scripture says, they were righteous, serving God faithfully all their lives. Nothing was wrong with them. Nothing. Somebody could say, what is wrong with me? Nothing may be wrong with you. God is not late. 75-year-old on time. 20-year-old unmarried, virgin, never known a man, still on time. That is all I've got to say. That the scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, not that we are sufficient in ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. We are not complete. We see our inadequacies. We see our weaknesses. It was by design. We see our weaknesses. We see our inefficiencies. we see our incapabilities, we see our frailty and our weaknesses, it is because we have an all-sufficient God. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, in closing, says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Your understanding of your relationship with the all-sufficient God will create a sense of sufficiency in you that is backed by correct theology that says if something is not happening in your life, something is wrong with you. No, nothing is wrong with me. If this thing is not happening yet, it is late. No. When God is ready, it will be the time. Whether it is in 5 years' time, whether it is today in this church, now, what we've received this morning, I'm not going to pray for us to receive something because we already received it. We prayed at the beginning of the service, at the beginning of this sermon, and as the choir was finishing, that was our ministration. The choir ministering to us, it was a ministration, and have led us to receive what God was going to give us. But I'm just backing it with knowledge so that we know what has happened to us. That this, our all-sufficient God, is never late. He can speak to a 99-year-old man, change his name, and give him a new name. And as someone is here today, don't say, "My situation. God has changed it." God has changed it this morning. God changed it 30 minutes ago. God changed your situation. Amen.